All right, Jen Cooper, the keeper, ready for the next episode of the Mix Zone Women's Soccer Podcast. This is episode number 93, so shout out to Morgan Bryan, youngest member of the Women's World Cup squad last year, born in 1993. Also, Hope Solo currently sits on 193 international caps. That'll likely change later this week. Looks like she will reach and pass 200 caps this year, becoming the only goalkeeper, male or female, in the world to reach that mark. All-time goalkeepers, male, female, Brianna Scurry is number two on the list with 173 caps, and Norway's Bente Nordby is right behind Scurry with 172. All right, so not in this episode is a discussion of the lawsuit or any continuing rant about the jerseys. Instead, if you want to listen to that, Hal Kaiser and I spent almost an entire live radio show this past Sunday talking about both the U.S. Women's National Team lawsuit, the new one that was filed last Thursday, and of course our rants about the U.S. soccer jersey. So you can check out that podcast at keepernotes.com. You can also find it on iTunes under Keeper Notes Soccer Show. In this episode, I am continuing with the NWSL preview theme. So I spoke with Jennifer Gordon of Equalizer Soccer to get the scoop on the 2016 Washington Spirit. And then, of course, I had a chat with Hal Kaiser to review all the changes that the Houston Dash have made in the offseason. There will be two more episodes before the first game of the 2016 NWSL season, which will allow me to preview all the remaining 2015 clubs. So, enjoy! Jen Cooper, the keeper, here with Jennifer Gordon of Equalizer Soccer. Jennifer covers many soccer aspects, but specifically the Washington Spirit. Jennifer, thanks for joining me today.
Thanks for having me. Hope you're having a good Sunday afternoon.
Oh, yeah. Let's talk about the Spirit. I mean, 2 years in a row making the playoffs, but a big departure in this offseason, you know, of Coach Mark Parsons. We'll get to that in a minute, in a few minutes, but I also want to talk about departures of some key players. So, number one being, of course, Ashlyn Harris going in the expansion draft to Orlando Pride. So tell me about the goalkeeper situation for the Spirit.
The way that Kaber has kind of worded it is that he has two keepers that could be the number one, and they're kind of competing from that number one spot. It's not set in stone who will be starting. I think that everybody pretty much thinks it would be Labbe, but still to be decided. I think they had a inter-squad yesterday, and Kelsey Weiss performed really well. So I think there's a really good, healthy competition there, and I think that may be one of the hardest decisions that he has to make for opening day.
Now, they've also lost, they traded Amanda Da Costa to Chicago, and I know they waived Tiffany Weimer. Any other big departures for the Spirit?
You know, not too many people have been talking about it, but I think the loss of Catherine Reynolds, our left back, is pretty big. They traded her to Portland in exchange for Alyssa Kleiner, who also plays left back. I think that the left back is probably the weakest position for the Spirit, and talking to some other people, I think that they're in agreement with that. So I think that was a pretty big departure. Angela Salem didn't start a lot last year, but she was definitely, definitely a good cog in that defensive midfield goal, kind of cleaning stuff up, doing the dirty work that no one really ever gets credit for. So, of course, I didn't, people aren't going to think about that loss. Uh-huh. But those are, some of the key losses, I think.
Well, and speaking of defense, you've got that great triumvirate from the 2015 draft of Caprice Didasco, Megan Oyster, Whitney Church. You know, it's hard to believe that this is only their sophomore season, you think with them and Allie Krieger probably being more available because the schedule's a little bit more friendly this season that, that'll help strengthen the defense?
I think Selena Zadorsky is probably really key back there as well. She was paired up with Megan Oyster in the scrimmage yesterday, so I'm thinking that's probably the pairing that Cabrera is leaning toward at center back. They're both pretty vocal, both young, and I think that could be a good pairing going forward, and I think they both are going to just continue to get better. They definitely haven't reached their peak yet, so I think that's exciting. Whitney Church has is being considered, I think, more at center back and defensive mid, which she played center back at Penn State, and then prior to Penn State, she actually was a defensive midfielder. So she's going home, basically. but I think the minutes that she played at right back, she still learned a lot of lessons that are definitely applicable, you know, no matter where you are on the field. There's definitely some basic knowledge there. So Caprice didn't play near as much, but she did really well in Australia in the offseason. So it'll be interesting to see if she can kind of transition that to and kind of play off that for this NWSL season. So good to have those players returning, and I think that they're only going to get better.
Well, and speaking of great returning players, of course, Diana Matheson coming into her fourth season with the club, you know, she's got, I think she's got 19 goals, maybe, to Crystal's 15. Of course, Diana's are over three seasons. You know, just such a stable, mature, great presence. You know, how's she been feeling?
She's played fairly well. I think it's the interesting thing about this team is there's been so many good players in attacking roles that maybe she hasn't had to do as much as she's had to do in previous years. I was incredibly, and I said this last year, I was incredibly impressed with how she came back in after the World Cup and how fit she was. You couldn't even tell that she'd suffered these two massive injuries. She's definitely a pro. She's definitely somebody that, you know, has been through the ups and downs of this club. So I think that she's, and some of the stuff she does is just incredible, and the soccer IQ it takes to do some of the things she pulls off is really why it's a joy to really watch her.
Yeah, she's always been one of my favorites. And again, I'm glad that the Olympics are not going to eat up quite the amount of time that the Women's World Cup did last year, so these clubs aren't going to be, you know, missing these players for quite as long. And I like that... you know, she got some more Canadian teammates with her with the new allocations of Labbé as goalkeeper, Zdorsky, you know, in defense players that, you know, I would assume that she knows pretty well. Talk about the other midfielders, you know, Tori Huster, again, who's been there since the beginning. Also, you know, Christine Nairn, you know, not a lot of changes in midfield. I mean, at least you've got those veterans coming back. So talk about those players.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there also Joanna Lohman is also back as well. So Christine said, and she has actually been playing a little bit more offensive role, where I think last year she kind of had to play a little bit more defensively. She's killing it, as I guess we've all grown accustomed to from, you know, set pieces. Mm-hmm. She's scored twice so far off free kicks, and I think that confidence is really important to her game. So I, you know, if you're a Spirit fan, it's definitely good to see that. She was actually second on the team in goals last year, but I think she scored all of them, the majority of them, really early on in the season. So it'll be interesting to see what kind of form she's in at the beginning of the season. With Tori and Joanna, they're kind of the two that I think are looking, he's trying to decide between for the defensive midfield job opening day. And they've both played for relatively the same amount of minutes. I think Tori, you know, just based on what I saw last year, it was like she had sort of a nagging injury. I don't think she was ever really completely healthy. So it'll be interesting to see how she rebounds this year, and, you know, if she can rebound this year, and what kind of role she takes on with this team. Again, like Matheson, she's been here since the beginning, so she's seen the up and down. And I know she's a really liked player by the fans.
Now talk about the acquisition of Katie Stengel.
You know, it's interesting because I think this is probably one of the bigger signings that people haven't really discussed as much. You know, Henri, obviously that signing is huge for right. Not just literally because of the kind of player she is, but what it means. And I know there's a lot of discussion and that totally makes sense. But I think as far as what this team was missing last year and what it needs to kind of take that next step, because I do think expectations are growing. And DC, she's definitely it. I mean, they were playing Crystal in that center forward role, and that's not really Crystal's best place on the field. Uh-huh. I know, it's crazy to say that. She scored 15 goals last year, right?
Right.
Katie's kind of sort of going to be the yin to the yang of the speed and athleticism that you're going to see elsewhere up top. And she also should help provide an aerial target, because they were kind of missing that last year, other than, like, on set pieces they had Huster, she was in, and then Oyster, obviously. That's about it. So it'll be interesting to see. She's a technical player. She can hold the ball up. And I think that's kind of what they were missing last year. It was like either Crystal had the ball and she was already in front of goal, or they never really got into the attacking area. So I think that's a huge sign. It'll be a huge signing if they succeed. That'll be, she's going to be key in getting further along, maybe host a playoff spot or, you know, get to the championship game. I think she's a critical piece.
Yeah, and you know, I think that's someone to compliment Crystal Dunn is huge. You know, so she doesn't have to have that burden by herself, but also that it's, you know, a slightly different kind of player, so that, you know, they can develop a really great, you know, strike partnership. You know, and of course, Crystal Dunn coming off an MVP season, like you said, you know, 15 goals, and you can almost play her anywhere where you need to, you know. I mean, we even saw her move back into defense, you know, for that, you know, semifinal match. But let's talk about, I would say the biggest change for this club is Coach Jim Gabara returning to his original WOSO Pro club. You know, he was the Washington Freedom coach for 3 seasons in the WSA, 2 seasons in the WPS, you know, and is now coming over for Sky Blue. Completely different ownership group, obviously, completely different roster. You know, have you had a chance to talk with him, you know, or the players in the club about, you know, just having this new coach come in who in some ways isn't new?
It's funny because this team has more returning players than any other previous season. So basically all they've had to deal with, or most of what they've had to deal with, is their new coach. And from everything that I've understood talking to the players, the idea I get is he's not making a ton of wholesale changes. He's keeping a lot of what Mark had as far as, you know, as, you know, not changing everything. It's more just tweaking and sort of fine-tuning things. And he used the term getting them to stop using, like, bad habits that they've gotten into and things like that. So it seems like the players are pretty excited about working with him and learning from him because of his outstanding knowledge of, you know, soccer and then, you know, women's soccer. Obviously, he's been around, you know, right, the block and then some. So I think the players are doing pretty well with the change.
Well, and then you've got 4 internationals other than, you know, the Canadian and American allocated players on the roster right now. Almost all of them from countries that are not playing in the Olympics. So you've got Laura Del Rio from Spain, Francisca Ortega from Nigeria, right?
Yes.
Okay, and then Stefania Benini and then Haley Rosso from Australia. And these are not really big names the way, like you had mentioned, you know, Amandine Henri or, you know, other foreigners coming over. But what do they bring to the table? I mean, all of them are on their second contract year. They're not new to the club. We didn't get to see all of them maybe a lot last year because of the Women's World Cup, so we'll probably see a lot more of them this year. What are we going to see?
I think with Franny Ortega, what you see is a player with a lot of like the physical attributes to be a good soccer player, but maybe hasn't had the same sort of coaching that a lot of the players over here had. She had a really good stretch before the Olympics and then kind of fell off. She had some family issues. She had to go back to Nigeria, and I think it was really hard for her to bounce back from that. So what you're looking there is someone that can hopefully try to keep up with Crystal. Obviously, Shayna Williams, they haven't signed, but she's still around, and I think if they do sign any of the rookies, that would be who they'd sign. It would be, again, another player that can try to keep up with Crystal if they want to, you know, pick off maybe on a 2v1 or something like that. Rosso, it's interesting. We didn't see a ton of her last year, and mainly when we did tears after the Olympics, and it was usually late in games. So it'll be interesting to see what she brings to the table or how many minutes she gets.
Uh-huh.
I think the kind of the jury's still out on Rosso, if I'm honest. Del Rio, you saw a lot of technical skill. Again, kind of like maybe one of your older players. So she's been around the block and has a lot that she can share. And just some of the moves that she pulled off, you don't see a ton of players in U.S. trying those moves. And kind of similarly, Benini got injured early on last year. She's listed as a forward, but she's going to play more of a number 10 spot. She's, again, a technical player, likes to nutmeg, do those types of things. And is kind of an exciting player because it's a little bit different, I think, than a lot of the other players they have. Because it seems like a lot of the spirit attack is based on sort of speed and athleticism. So kind of hopefully trying to balance that out a little bit.
And it's interesting that all four of those internationals are all listed as forwards. No one else has all their internationals, you know, in the forward ranks, but they're all such different kinds of players, you know, so I would think that would bring a lot of variety to the attack.
Yeah, it's interesting because I think that obviously the place that they have the most players on, I think where Gobert, if he makes any more roster moves, is going to have to maybe punch him down, would be the forward position. You know, it's interesting to see how that plays out, and I think he's still trying to figure out how those pieces fit together, which everyone still is. But there are a lot of exciting pieces, and it's definitely different than a lot of other years. We'll see if they can stay healthy, because it's always been a problem in D.C. is that you bring in these forwards and they're all injured within a month. So we'll see. Del Rio, actually, I don't believe has played yet in the preseason. So I'm interested to see if she'll actually be a go for the beginning of the year.
Mm-hmm.
So that's something to watch too, because I think a lot of people, when they're looking at when people are trying to get the rosters down to the 20-person roster, they kind of forget about that kind of stuff. So it's interesting. Gobert has said, he said to me that there could possibly be another move. Mm-hmm. He's not sure, and he's not saying it's a cut. He's saying there could be another move. So take that as you will. Got another week, I guess, to figure that out. So.
Well, and there's still, chances for the draft picks, you know, to get in the mix. You know, the top draft pick for the Washington Spirit being Shayna Williams. And every time I see that name now, I think of the Spirit squadron at the draft chanting, Shayna Williams, you know, as she walked up to the podium. You know, how has she been doing in preseason camp?
If any of the rookies get a contract, it would be her. She's definitely done some good things in the combining in the attack with, say, Crystal and some of the other people that have been playing up there. So she's definitely the one you see, that is definitely has the potential to make up to be on the roster and contribute. So I think she's definitely obviously like any rookie, she's got things she needs to work on a little bit and, you know, sort of learn. The game's going to be quicker and, you know, that first touch is so much more important and things of that nature.
Uh-huh.
So she's, it's definitely an interesting situation because right now, there's a lot of teams right now that would love to have her and then Callie Farquharson too. I'm the second round pick by the Spirit.
Uh-huh.
Farquharson took some sort of a knock. I know, didn't play one of the preseason games. It was limited yesterday. So it's interesting to see how that plays out, but I mean, those two players definitely have value. It's just a matter of can they make it fit, and if they can't make it fit, can they make a move? It's interesting to see how that will work out.
The draft picks, you know, that might not make that final cut, you know, make the 20-player roster, do they still have an opportunity with the Spirit to, you know, play in their reserves? You know, I'm not sure if the Spirit are playing in WPSL since W League is gone.
They are. So I do know that Kara Wilson, who was their fourth round draft pick out of Duke, actually played with the reserves for a number of years. So I'm sure that's an option that they're interested in. That it would be on the table. Kara is also a local kid, so it wouldn't even it might fit with what she was thinking of doing. So some of the players that had been in camp, I know, played in the game, the inter squad. On Saturday, just because they didn't have enough players, so they called in some guest players, including some high school students. So that was really interesting. But some of those players were back, and it'll be interesting. I think that some of those will probably. I didn't ask Gobert about that, but I think that it's a good indication that they'll probably stick around on the reserves.
Yeah. It looks like the Spirit should have a pretty solid season where, you know, as you mentioned, they've got the most people returning than they've had compared to any other previous season. They've got a coach who is new to this club, this version of the club, but is not new to women's pro soccer. So you're not in a situation like, you know, with Boston where you're bringing in someone who has not coached in NWSL before. You know, so what do you think their chances are?
It's always like, anybody would tell you it's hard at this point. You don't know how injuries are going to go. But I do think the Spirit have a good shot, and I think people have to keep in mind that schedules are not balanced this season.
Right.
And the Spirit are going to meet Sky Blue two additional times, and I think everybody pretty much is in agreement that Sky Blue is not going to be in playoff contention.
Mm-hmm.
So that should be two additional opportunities for the Spirit to pick up points, and that could be the difference in what looks like it's shaping up to be when you look across the preseason, a pretty tight table. And I think the Spirit have gotten up, I would say, yeah, you do lose Ashton Harris, and that's a huge loss. But I think if you look across the board, they've probably gotten a little bit better. It's just a matter of how much better did everyone else get. I think they're definitely going to be in. They're definitely going to be in the conversation, and I don't think there's anybody that wouldn't think that they're going to, at this point, think they're going to be in contention for one of those four spots in the playoff.
And I think
a lot of it.
Yeah, I don't think anything's going to shut down Crystal Dunn either.
And I think the best part of it is that, you know, if you're looking at the Spirit fan, you're looking at this roster, and hopefully it's not all on her.
Right.
And I think that would put her even in a better spot. You can't guarantee, or you shouldn't count on her scoring 15 goals, but she's going to continue to hopefully bring to the table what she brings, and that should help open up opportunities for other players. So,
especially like the way you described that she and Katie Stengel could be, you know, could develop a really great combination up top. That should be really interesting to watch.
Yeah, I mean, they played in the U-20 World Cup together. They do know each other. They played against each other in the ACC, so it'll be interesting to see that. And, you know, it's been all the new players in the league and you know, players returning, like AD French and stuff like that. So looks like it's shaping up to maybe be the most competitive season thus far. I definitely
agree with that. And how has the buzz been, you know, in the Northern Virginia, Maryland, D.C. area? You know, we're 2 weeks away from the season kicking off, and I know the Spirit have a home game that season. That weekend. You know, it's like, as far as you know, are ticket sales good? Are people excited about it? Is there still that buzz of, like, you know, that nice buzz that we get when we're between the Women's World Cup and the Olympics? So it's like there's still a reason for people to keep talking about it. They're aware of what we're talking about when we, you know, bring up these players. And, you know, you can just go see them at your soccerplex, you know, at a, you know, one of the best venues in the league.
It's interesting. I haven't seen a ton of media, but I live in Baltimore,
uh-huh.
all around Baltimore, so it's the markets are a little bit different. But I will say that for the Penn State game, which was not yesterday, but the Saturday before last, they had about 3,000 people there in attendance, and a lot of them were either season ticket holders or people that are involved in the Spirit Youth Program. And it was a really good crowd. Definitely, you know, tell in the concourse and in on the hill there, the Spirit Hill, uh-huh. there were a good number of people there. So I think if you look at that, there should be a good turnout for that first game.
That's a great number for a preseason match, because looking at the matches in Portland, I can't imagine that those were approaching 3,000.
I think that the one yesterday actually had a really good turnout. I want to say 5,000, actually.
Nice. But the ones
you can't really compare.
Yeah,
it's hard to compare anywhere to Portland. It's
right,
kind of an unfair
right.
comparison, you know. But there seems to be a lot of excitement about the team, and people seem to know a little bit more about the team than maybe they did in previous years. So, you know, and it's kind of one thing feeds off the other. The Spirit have been good the past two seasons, and we made the playoffs. So, you know, anytime a team does well in an area, even a lesser-known team, people take a little bit more interest than they otherwise would. So,
right.
I'm excited to see and how that works out and how it works out elsewhere as well.
Yeah, and you know, it's fun to think back that it was just 15 years ago. It'll be 15 years ago in just a couple of weeks that, you know, they had the inaugural WSA game at RFK in Washington, D.C., you know, so it's like, in some ways you can say we've come so far, and in some ways you could say, well, we've got a ways to go, but it's just so exciting to have, you know, that fourth season.
Yes, and I mean, it's, you know, continue to grow and build, and it's going to take a while for sure, but it's excited to be going into the fourth season, and you know, and adding another team obviously is good news. Just hopefully we can continue the increase in attendance that we saw across the league from last year. So, and the U.S. national team, for, you know, not to get into the reasons why, but they've been in the news a lot lately. And so,
yeah.
You know, perhaps that'll make people remember about to kind of jog people's memories about the club team.
Yeah, no,
maybe.
No such thing as bad PR. Well, Jennifer, thank you for all of your insight today about the Washington Spirit, and I hope you get to enjoy a great season in Boyd's, Maryland.
Same to you guys in Houston, and hopefully everybody enjoys their season. Thanks for listening, guys.
All right, Jen Cooper, the keeper here with Hal Kaiser, ready to do a Houston Dash preview. And we'll start with the disclaimer of course, yes, Hal and I are both in Houston. And yes, we're very biased towards Houston. And of course, most of you guys know that I'm the color commentator for Houston. So we will try not to be very rah-rah, you know.
Really?
Unnecessarily. Well, right. Okay, Hal, you can be, I have to be, I should be a little bit
No, I'll
biased.
I'll be balanced. I'll try.
All right. So, I mean, to me, just from the outside, it looks like this is a very different roster than 2015. Now, obviously, 2015 was different from 2014, but I feel like this is the best roster we've ever seen for the Dash.
Yeah, it's different. I mean, it's literally different. And I mean, the fact that 11 players are gone and 11 new players are in their place. But it's also different, like you say, from a quality standpoint. And that you saw that from the first day of practice. And the players felt that on the first day of practice. It was just crisper, better. It gelled more quickly too, interestingly enough. And you know, talking to the players in the first week, they all said the same thing. This is the ones that have been here since the beginning, which is not very many.
What, four.
this is the best that we've had here.
And you had mentioned, you and I talked about this a while back, that some of the structural changes that the club had made in terms of bringing in trialists and how many they brought in and when they brought them in, that I think they learned from last year, having brought in so many, to bring in fewer on a different schedule. And it sounds like that made things much smoother as well. And I mean, because I don't think you can, you know, overemphasize how important preseason is.
Yeah, I think they've learned from year to year. I mean, last year, all the talk, of course, going into the season was World Cup year and amateurs are going to be really important. And the Dash were also a little short at the back line going into last season, which is true this season too. But, you know, they came out with 30-something. I mean, they basically used all the possible slots they could at the start of preseason. And with the national team players being away, because last year they weren't here at all, the Canadians
right.
or the Americans,
right?
You had 15 to 20 trialists. This year, with the trialists the Dash had before the preseason ever started, they had a 3-day mini camp kind of tryout, mm-hmm. if you will. And then from that brought in a shortlisted, very small number of trialists, which you could see. I mean, when you have 15, 20 trialists, these are players that aren't going to make an NWSL roster most likely.
Right.
So it makes for a much more disjointed camp in general.
You're not building any teamwork because most
yeah.
of those people aren't going to be there.
And the quality is going to naturally be lower as well. This year, I think the trialists were better than last year to begin with. The quality was better than last year to begin with. And you had a much greater percentage of the players in camp being rostered players than was the case last year. And the net effect, and being better rostered players, because I don't think that can be understated. I think stepping back for a second, if you look at the last 2 years, there's been a lot of things about Randy Waldrum's job that you wouldn't envy. And they were mostly negative things. I think this year, what you least envy about his job is the headaches over selection, because there's going to be 2-3 at least players who probably would start on most teams in this league will be on the bench for the Dash. That's just how deep they are this year, how deep and talented they are.
That's a very different situation
yeah.
for Randy Waldrum to be in. Well, let's talk about some of the offseason moves. You know, of course, you know, Ellen Aaron departed for Europe. You know, Brittany Bach picked up in the waiver draft. You know, some other
Justin McDonald and Tiffany McCarty traded.
Yeah, some big trades. Of course, the trade of Megan Klingenberg before the expansion draft, and then
right.
losing Tony Presley in the expansion draft. But the players coming in to replace them. Talk about those.
Yeah, there's two characteristics there. I mean, one is they're young. Most of the players who've come in are under 24 or under. And then they're very talented. They're much better with the ball at their feet. There's a lot more athleticism, a lot more pace. So you have the likes of, from the draft, Rachel Daly and Janine Becky, who both have already you've seen just last night with that Portland game and throughout the preseason have had
Janine
a really big impact.
Had the goal and the assist on Kavia's goal.
And Rachel Daly was a standout. You know, people, the announcers and company.
She earned that PK.
Yeah, and the you know, social media people were commenting on Rachel Daly's play. I mean, there were some rookie mistakes, of course. It's a young team. There's a lot of rookies, so there will be mistakes, especially in the early part of the season. But her play was excellent. Chioma Abugagu, who was a standout again last night as well, who probably might have been a late first round draft pick, early second round draft pick last year, but went to play in England instead with Arsenal, and had a great year with Arsenal. So has a year of pro soccer under her belt. She's a big ad. I mean, you can't understate how big of an ad she is, and you saw some of her quality last night. One of the more experienced players they brought in, of course, was Amber Brooks, who came in the Megan Klingenberg trade. And there again, I think she's maybe been one of the least flashy pickups of the offseason, but I'd argue maybe the most important, because one of the big things the Dash were missing last year was a good holding midfielder. I think the whole dynamic of Andressa, Morgan Bryan, and Carly Lloyd in the midfield together was problematic last year from my standpoint, that who was going forward, who was staying back. Not an issue this year. I think Amber will step in, and I think Amber is going to cause a problem in terms of how you use Carly Lloyd, Morgan Bryan, and Andressa from the standpoint of I think she's a starter. I think she'll come in. You can count on her sitting deep in the pivot, keeping the back line clean, giving the other midfielders the freedom to go forward and attack without having to worry about defensive responsibilities as much.
And she was the captain, or rather, she wore the captain's armband last night.
Yeah, yeah. And that's, I mean, so you lost a lot of leadership with the likes of Ella and Aaron in particular leaving, and that's a void that still has to be filled, that on-the-pitch leadership that still has to be filled. But there's a few different players who could do that. And Amber's one of those that as she gets more comfortable with the team. She was captain for Randy Waldrum in the U23s. She has those leadership qualities. She's one who can be a leader on the team.
Now, talk about you know, the latest trade. You know, Dash got Rebecca Moros from Western New York Flash. You know, we're still a little weak at the back, but you know, what does she bring to the table?
She's experienced for one. So when you talk again about losing a lot of senior leadership and this being a very, very young team, because we didn't even talk about Denise O'Sullivan or Pollyanna or some of the other really great young players who've come in. She brings that experience. She started every single game, including the championship game for FC Kansas City last year at left back. But she can play right back. She can play center back as she did last night for the Dash. So she has a lot of experience to this team. When you think about in the start of the season, Carrie Roquero is out injured. Her recovery is going well. She'll be back sooner rather than later. But you have Ellie Brush and who at center back. That could end up being Rebecca Moros. Very experienced fill-in there, which will be big in the early season. And then when Ricaro is ready to play and Alicia Chapman goes off for Olympic duty on the left or Pollyanna goes off for Olympic duty on the right, instead of plugging in an amateur, you're plugging in somebody who started every game for the champions last year.
Yes.
And the value of that can't be understated. And that's one of the things that I think the Dash learned from last year was they were so focused on having experience on the bench, they didn't necessarily think in terms of we need to have a very quality replacement at every spot where we're going to lose somebody for the World Cup. That's what they've done this year, said, all right, well, this player is gone. Who's the specific player who's going to back them up when they're gone? And so you have that with Moros now. You have that with Denise O'Sullivan in the midfield. You have that with Amber Brooks or Cammy Privet or, you know, you name it. There's players who are ready to step in at each spot. So that the team's better overall equipped to deal with that than they were last year.
So we have two players now who started with the Dash as amateurs who now have earned contracts. So Jen LaPont got signed, I think, end of July.
Yeah,
last
sometime
year.
Last year, and then
Cammy Privet, she had earned a contract in Norway, and Randy told her, he goes, if you want to come back, we've got a space for you. So she's on contract now after being an amateur last year, and he's been trying her out at center back. She played midfield last year. So what do you think about Cammy Privet at center back?
It's interesting. I think the first preseason game, she started in the midfield and was okay. At center back, she just looked better. She looked more comfortable. She looks very comfortable back there. She looks like a natural. She's got good height. She's good in the air. She's athletic. She could be a good solution. I mean, you could see Rebecca Morrow's not actually start at center back at the start of the season. It could be Cammy. She made a few rookie mistakes yesterday because she's new to that position. And as she said to me a couple weeks ago, even though last year was her rookie year, really this year is her rookie year.
Because she's really part of the team.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but she's really, I think, intriguing at that spot. And that is, I mean, if you were to ask me, what do you worry? What keeps you awake at night worrying about the Dash season? That back line, the center back spot, is probably top of the list, getting that right. And I think between Moros and Cammy, what you've seen from her so far, you can feel more comfortable. You still, I think, you know, that's an area to watch. But I think you can feel more comfortable than you were maybe a month ago.
Well, and continuing the thought of defense, you know, losing Erin McLeod, that's a big loss, especially that's your original captain of the team. But picking up Lydia Williams, I think they're in a position where you have two keepers that can start. So the challenge is, how do you decide who's going to start? Now, obviously, Lydia Williams will be departing for the Olympics at some point. I think Australia's just going to be just a few weeks.
Just
before.
2 weeks before Rio. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, Bianca, you know, not going to the Olympics. It's great to have two keepers like that. It keeps the competition sharp. It knows, you know, that if one keeper is injured for some reason, that, you know, there's no drop in talent. But, I mean, I think that's such a sweet position to be in, especially when we know right now there's some clubs that have, like, no depth at keeper.
Yeah, and that's another headache for Randy, because who do you use? I mean, it's, you can't go wrong either way, let's be honest. But, I don't know. We'll see opening day who gets the spot. I'm not sure who.
Yeah, someone asked me last night at the watch party. They're like, so who's the starter? I was like, I think that's a question for Randy Waldrum.
I don't think there is a starter today. I think there's joint starters right now. I mean, somebody will have the edge. But as of today, that's not clear to me who it is.
And let's also talk about the Canadians. We've talked a little bit about Janine Becky, you know, that she got a goal and an assist you know, in the preseason match. And she had the game-winning goal against Brazil in the Algarve Cup final. It's crazy to think that she's a draft pick, because she's really come such a long way in the last year with her international experience. So you pair that with, you know, her college game, it puts her a level above.
I think by the end of the season, I said this on Twitter, I think, last night. By the end of the season, I think a lot of teams will be kicking themselves that they let the Dash get Daly at sixth and Becky at eighth, because they both have looked very good early on. They're both very athletic. Becky, she, with fitness testing, you know, sprinting and agility and all that stuff, she blew the roof off of everything. She's far more athletic than they even expected. I think you've seen that too this offseason with the national team, what she's done with Canada. Mm-hmm. I think she was, and I'll admit I'm as guilty of this as anybody. I had her, I didn't have her as good as she is. She's definitely underrated coming out of Texas Tech. But, you know, Daly I did have highly rated. I didn't have Daly on my draft board when the Dash were up at fifth. I thought she'd be gone before then. She's I mean, between her and Becky and Kalia and Chi, you got to pick three of those to start.
Yeah,
you can't go
and
wrong.
And Carly Lloyd right behind them, as you know, field that's
well,
you know,
and this is
pushing really far up.
I mean, one of the things that with Amber Brooks probably starting at defensive midfield, one of the things the Dash have and will continue to look at is Carly Lloyd as a forward. But who do you? I'm not sure. I want that. I mean, I'm not sure who you send. I mean, you saw this last night with Portland. Between whatever three you have out there of those four players, there's so much pace, so much athleticism, so much quality with the ball. And yeah, there were mistakes. I mean, there will be. They're still getting used to each other. There's still, you know, a couple of rookies in there. But the overall quality and the combination and the threat that they pose to opposing back lines, I'm not sure you want to disrupt that by throwing Carly Lloyd, who's probably a better midfielder at the end of the day, a better playmaker from a little bit deeper on the pitch. I'm not sure you want to disrupt that, but I guess we'll see which way they go.
Now, where do you think we'll see Melissa Henderson play? Because, you know, she had retired and then changed her mind, and Randy said, yeah, I can take you back, but it's not going to be playing where you were before.
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, they were going to look at her at fullback, and then of course she got injured against Baylor and has missed training since then. She didn't go to Portland. So that development time that Randy thought he would have.
So that's still a big question mark.
So that's a big question.
Yeah. And the Brazilians, you know, we had signed Pollyanna last year, and then Brazil made its decision that they were going to do an 18-month residency.
Yeah.
So we didn't get her.
They ended up not doing it.
Yeah. So we didn't get her or Hosanna. But then post World Cup, you know, picked up Andressa. Now, when did we get Camilla? About the same time, or was it Camilla?
Camilla was first.
Yeah.
Because Andressa played in the Pan Am game.
Yeah,
so she
and then Andressa joined. So they waived Camilla, but picked up Pollyanna again, which is great. And you know, again, it's like you understand why you want that pair, you know, especially with the language barrier and kind of, you know, acclimation. But they seem very comfortable.
And she's Pollyanna is again faster than was expected. I think you saw some really good things from her last night. Andressa, fans got to see her last year. I mean, one of the things that stands out for me with Andressa, just watching her in practice, is everything's so easy. I've rarely seen a player who can do so many impressive things, yet it looks like effortless. She's just a really good player. I hope she stays with the team. I hope she stays in NWSL for a while. Because I'm sure when her contract expires at the end of this year that there will be a lot of demand out of Europe. There was before. She had offers from PSG when she came to Houston.
But if she's happy here, and we've seen this with other NWSL players, you know, like Jessica Fishlock and Kim Little, where it's like there may be better offers from Europe, but if you treat them right and they'd rather be in the U.S., you know, you got that, you know, working. So Denise O'Sullivan, you know, they announced the signing. Do we have her paperwork yet? Is she?
She's not here yet. They had hoped that she would be able to play in Portland, that she would arrive. I haven't spoken to anybody, but I know she's not. She wasn't there, so obviously the visa hasn't come through.
Yeah, so they need both the P1 visa, which lets her in the country, and also the ITC certificate.
Yeah, and I think it's the visa is more the issue right now. And that, you know, again, you were talking about players who could play in Europe for more money but want to be in the U.S. She's one of those. I mean, she had interest, I know, from Chelsea and others, and she really wants to play in the U.S. So here she is, and I think she's probably going to start out the season on the bench because there is so much depth. But
to do preseason.
Yeah. Yeah, but I think she's a really good player. I think she's going to open some eyes here. She's the only player when I watch Ireland that I go, oh, yeah, I'd love to have her on the team.
Well, that's good to hear because I know some people, especially, you know, if they're not following it very deeply, they're like, but the last Irish player didn't work out. It's like, well, that doesn't mean that every Irish player, you know. I think you had said it to me that you were a little surprised that she was interested considering how quickly Stephanie Roche left. But I think, you know, clearly, Roche must have said some positive things about Houston.
Yeah, she said she really didn't talk to Stephanie Roche very much. She just got some input on when they were at the Cyprus Cup, which is after everything had already been done, basically. Yeah. Because that was between the time that was sorted out and when it was actually announced, was a pretty long gap of time.
Right.
But Stephanie told her that it's a very professional training environment and, you know, said good things. At least that's what Denise relayed. Maybe she said some negative things too. I don't know. But Denise is very happy to be. I mean, I know she's ecstatic to be coming. So hopefully she gets here soon.
Yeah. It's such a different roster. And of course, we mean that in a good way. And you and I have talked about this a lot before. It's like having a front row seat to, you know, Randy Waldrum's professional coaching learning curve.
Yeah.
You know, and I think it's kind of nice, too, that since he's no longer coach of Trinidad and Tobago, that there's nothing on the side that's a distraction. And I really think he and the club have figured out a lot of, you know, things that when you're starting from scratch on a very short turnaround, that a lot of things you're just like, oh, we'll deal with that later. I think they've really gotten into a good groove of how they treat the trialists, how they run preseason. You know, like I said, Stephanie Roche, it's a professional training environment, and that's so important.
Yeah, there's no doubt been a learning curve. They'd be the first to admit it. There's been mistakes along the way, but they're getting there. And, you know, it is, there's been so much turnover the last couple of seasons, but you look at where they are today and you never know player retirements. You can't account for those kinds of things, but they have a roster that's young, quality. And you would think that all, if all goes right, you go into the next offseason instead of having to replace 11 players, you know, two, three, that kind of number, which then you start to look more like a Seattle. I think the issue, you know, the defense, you got to watch that. That's going to be an area to keep an eye on, an area of concern. The other one is just the fact that there are so many changes and it is such a young team that there will still be a need to gel and figure everybody out and learn in the process. But that's also been a bit of an advantage in that so many of the players are around the same age. It's made the team gel off the field faster. They're hanging out and doing a lot of stuff together because they're all, you know, in the past,
just
like Randy
college.
Said, Ella and Aaron were great leaders, but they had their own life. You know, practice was over and they'd be gone.
Yeah.
You know, and these players would go. They all had a great relationship, but off the field, everybody sort of went and did their own things. Whereas now it's much more of a, you know, we're all around
wherever
the
same
we go, age and we do a lot of stuff
together.
And, yeah. Yeah.
Well, and I think the schedule is much better. And of course, I mean, this is the true for all teams, but that the Olympics falls in August instead of June means you really have the time for teams to gel before all of a sudden people have to leave. I mean, it felt like last spring was a little strange where, okay, you have the first three games with the U.S. players and then the Canadian players come back and then leave. And that, you know, and then suddenly you've got that stretch with the amateurs. So I think just like the Dash have made tweaks and Randy Waldrum has made tweaks each season, we're seeing the league make schedule tweaks. So there's absolutely no games during the Olympics. Thankfully, the Olympics is a shorter window.
Yeah.
You know, that they've gone ahead and, you know, the schedule pushes into October. The first weekend of October is the last weekend of the playoffs before the final. And I've said this on the podcast before. I'll say it again. The league hasn't announced it. But hey, the Dash are selling a 4-pack and a 6-pack with an exclusive game TBA. So I think it's safe to infer in this, you know, worst kept secret department that the NWSL final will be in Houston.
Yeah. Yeah, I can't confirm that, but I
yeah.
would say that
we can't confirm it, but there's no lightning is going to strike us by saying it. So, you know, go ahead, check your calendars for middle of October. We don't have a date yet. Looking at the Dynamo calendar, it looks like it would have to be somewhere between like October 8th and 16th based on Dynamo home dates, and it couldn't be any later because then
the FIFA window
starts October 17th, so it couldn't be any later than that. So it makes me think it's likely a weeknight game again, but it could be that Sunday, and I think that would be wonderful. But the question is, can you get
it? Could
TV
also
slot?
Be after that FIFA window, which was the case last year.
Right. But that would mean that you would have a 3.5-week break because the FIFA window runs October 17th to the 2nd, sorry, to the 25th. The semifinals are October 1st and 2nd. That would be almost a month.
Okay.
Yeah, which is why I think it'll be somewhere between the 8th and the 16th.
Yeah,
so more than a week later, not more than 2 weeks later.
Hopefully.
But yeah, hopefully. That's our keyword. All right. Well, Hal, thank you for giving us the update on the Dash, and keep up the good work and Dash on.
Thanks.
All right. Time to wrap it up with the back four. On Keeper Notes yesterday, posted a big list of all the NWSL gear that my soccer store can create. So if you want to check it out at keepernotes.com, I can do hoodies, polos, Nike t-shirts, jackets, cinch sacks, lots of great stuff there. Later on, I'll post about the actual NWSL game day jerseys themselves. That's a much more difficult proposition. And of course, follow up on USA gear. So check it out. And to everyone who's emailed to place an order or just to thank me for doing what I'm doing, I really appreciate it. Next, like I mentioned in the intro, not doing any coverage of lawsuit in this episode because Hal Kaiser and I spent a good 45 minutes to an hour ranting about the lawsuit and also the jerseys on the Keeper Note Soccer Show live radio show. So you can check out that podcast on iTunes. Just search for Keeper Notes, or you can go to keepernotes.com. You can listen to it there. Next, we're coming up on a FIFA window for Women's International. So, of course, we've got the U.S. women playing two matches. They host Colombia Wednesday and also Sunday. The Wednesday game is on Fox Sports 1. Coverage begins at 6 p.m. Central, kickoff approximately 6:30. And then the Sunday game is on ESPN, with kickoff and coverage beginning approximately 1 p.m. Central. Canada will be at the Netherlands for April 10th for their last warm-up before the NWSL season starts. And a lot of European teams will be in action, more than 25 Women's Euro 2017 qualifiers taking place. That window closes middle of next week, and then, of course, we've got the NWSL season kicking off on April 16th. Last but not least, the NWSL Almanac. I'm still working on it. Need to get the purchase pre-order post up on Keeper Notes this week. It's going to have playoff histories, all-time player registry, photos, all kinds of fun stats. It'll be a downloadable PDF. Anyone who orders early, of course, we're running out of time to order early, will get a discount. And the final version will be available for download like right before the season starts. Any questions, of course, you can email me anytime at keeper@keepernotes.com. All right, if you're not already subscribed to this podcast, you can do so via iTunes. Just search for Howler. You can also find the podcast on howlermagazine.com, also Podomatic, TuneIn, Stitcher. Please spread the word about this podcast. The more people that listen, the more soccer merch we can sell, and the more we can show Nike what we really want in merchandise. And as always, thanks to PK Ray for making this podcast possible.